Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel. Turn your mining hat light on and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. We have been doing a series, and we're going to round up today on what's in a name. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious and everlasting God, we are grateful for your word, that you hide so many truths in it, that we may know you better, that we may see you more clearly, and that we may be more like you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm so grateful for this time that we've had in the scriptures. We started out just doing a little background, understanding the significance and the importance of names and how names play into our callings and so many different things that we've looked at. We've looked at, you know, basically how the Lord is referred to in the New Testament. And we spent quite a bit of time then on the names of God in the Old Testament and how God reveals different aspects of himself every time. And we've talked about this. When we deepen that, God has deepened his relationship with his creation over time. And each time as it gets, we get closer and closer with him, he reveals another side of himself, another aspect to his, I'll say, personality. We know that's a, you know, definitely he's not a personality, but those aspects that he reveals to us that we may understand. And it's anthropomorphism, and we don't want to go there. But anyway, we've been talking about then were all the names of God and how they are the same, but they differ, and the meanings of the difference. The biggest one we talked about, Elohim versus Jehovah. Elohim being the very first word in the scriptures, God created in the beginning. All right. And so that's him as the creator and in his relationship to his creation. Well, Jehovah indicates his covenant relationship with us. Amen. So that's why I've said many times, and, you know, how do we relate to various people? God is everybody's Elohim. He's not everybody's Jehovah, but he's everybody's Elohim. He is everybody's creator. He's everything's creator. That's why things that are made that are not human still respond to him. I've used the fish that swallowed Jonah, the ravens that brought food to Elijah. All of these things were subject to their creator, their creator's voice. They hear his voice. Amen. And so then there was Jehovah. She talks about that relationship, and it means the one who was, the one who is to come. He is the immutable one. He's it, okay? And that's my God, my relationship with my God. Anyway, but then we also looked at the other ones, Yah, El, and then we looked at the related ones to El, Eloah, Elyon, and of course, Elohim, you know, is also in that vein. And then we did Shaddai, Adon, and the Adon's the Adon, Adonai, Adonim. And because many times God is referred to in the plural, like Elohim is El, but in the plural, because he's so great, you can't talk about him that way. And people would say, oh, that's proof of the Trinity. Well, Trinity is a matter of doctrine of theology. It's not proved by fact. Amen. That same theory, it's not a theory, that same reality is true of royalty. The Queen of England refers to herself as us or we. When somebody's personage is so grand, that singular doesn't cover it. And if there's anyone who has the privilege to use that nomenclature, it most definitely is the Lord. But when we, as we came on down, what we were interested in seeing were the Jehovah has 10 times that another word is attached to it. So it's like a double title, Jehovah, and then a word. So these are called the Jehovah titles, and there are 10 of them. And we have taken them in the Hebrew canon in order that they appear in the Hebrew canon. Now, I'm going to say that specifically because that's a little different today. You're going to, for some of you, it's something you know. For some of you, you may not have known it. And you just go look in your dictionary what canon means. Yes, it means the order of things, but it also talks about canon means it's setting in order and significance. There's a definite pattern there, okay? And so it does, of course, apply to the order of the books. But as we see it in the New Testament, and we've gone through that, the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, Acts being the extension of Luke, but then the epistles, the Pauline epistles to the church, the Pauline epistles to ministers, then other general epistles to various groups. I think it's James that's written to the tribes scattered abroad. So while it's true for all of us, it was most definitely true for those Christians who had come out from the synagogue. And then ending with Revelation. We understand that. That isn't necessarily the order in which they were written, but that's the order in which they were canonized. Now, as we look at the Old Testament, this will be a little different for some of you, because you maybe have never heard this. Some of you have, of course. But the Old Testament canon, the Hebrew canon, is divided into three groups: the law, the prophets, and the other writings. Other writings, there's one word that covers that. The law, the prophets, and the other writings. And if you want to take time, go through and look up the number of times you will see people referring to that. Even in New Testament, Jesus, the Pharisees, referring to the law and the prophets. Well, that's not just a, you know, a kind of a catch-all, the law and the prophets. The first books of Moses, the first five books, the Torah, are the books of the law. Then are the prophets, not necessarily in the order in which you see them in the scriptures. Then are the other writings. And that is actually called the Ketubim. Okay, there's the law, Torah, the prophets, Nevi'im, and Keturim. Okay, and so they're divided into these three. The prophets are Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings. Okay, now remember, Chronicles is different. We divide up 1 and 2 Kings, First, Second, Third, Fourth Kings, and Chronicles. Anyway, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and what they call the minor prophets, which we know are all the others. But the writings, these are the Psalms, which give praise, Proverbs, which are rules, words given for man's life. It's a moral wisdom. Job, which it's set up in a way that explains. No, I won't go into the whole thing because I'm not going to teach all that. But then, you know, goes through Ruth, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Esther, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, which are one book actually, not two, and then of course Chronicles. All those are part of the writings, and you will see. If you start looking it up, or just as you read along, all of a sudden you'll hear somebody refer to something that appeared in the Law and the Prophets. That's referring to those. The writings, the other writings, are a little bit different. And this is what's exciting, because the last two Jehovah titles that we have to look at are both in the other writings, and they are both in the book of Psalms. Now, I had to explain all that to tell you that we are taking these in order as they appear. First Genesis, then Exodus, and so on. We took it like that. And then, of course, we went on down, you know, Samuel. We talked about those First, Second, Third, and Fourth Kings. And then we read out of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, which, of course, were part of the prophets. However, then you think, well, wait a minute, you're out of order because you're taking Psalms, and we all know that Jeremiah and Ezekiel are after Psalms. Well, they're after Psalms in the order, but not in the canon, okay? And these are both exciting. They are in the book of Psalms. Now, Psalms, you know, is literally praises. But it's like God's purposes, his counsel. And if I may say it by praises, it also is that emotional expression. There are parts that appeal more to the intellect. There are parts that appeal more to the soul. And they are all equally valid. They are all equally legitimate. But many times you will find yourself, as I do too, that there'll be something on my heart, and as I read through Psalms, I hear it, I see it. David is a great example of that, when he's like, you know, my soul is at its depths, I'm surrounded by my enemies, yet I will worship the Lord. He's expressing that dark worry and despair that he's suffering, and yet the Spirit of God lightens him and lifts him. Those are all have to do with that. Excuse me, I don't mean it just this, but I don't have time to explain all of it. The emotional aspect of what we go through, because we are all these things. We're not just, you know, an intellect. People with very little intellect at all can be marvelous warriors in the spirit, can't they? But I want you to see there are those parts where it expresses, they're expressive, and they many times it's storytelling, which the book of Job tells a story. It creates a picture that is very, very important. Anyway, also, you know, like Lamentations, right, the alas, and Ecclesiastes, again, it's that wisdom that we use day to day to live our lives. So you get that idea. So the last two of our Jehovah titles are out of the book of Psalms. Now, I wanted to talk to you first, before we go too far in these, to explain what we mean by titles. It's names and titles. And I'm not drawing too precise a line down it. We know that Jehovah is a name of God, isn't it? And he says to call me by that name, and so on. So we understand name. But title also reveals about us, doesn't it? When somebody's title is revealed, it says something about them. you know, doesn't always, this is not equating it, but okay, I always introduce myself. My name is Dr. Lorraine Naboro. I have a doctorate in theology, okay. Therefore, that title, Lorraine's my name, but the title, as we are looking at Bible study, as we're looking at teaching, it's just, it puts that in a perspective, doesn't it? Now, I'll give you example on how we should use them. I don't mean precisely like, oh, the world will come to an end if you don't. But we should use things with precision if we can. Amen? Jesus is our mediator. I don't pray to Jesus. But on the other hand, if we believe the Father and Jesus are one, well, you know, I'm always very careful to pray in the name of Jesus. All right, now, so as we look at titles, names and titles, I'll use this example. Let's say there's a woman whose name is Jane Jones, all right? And she's married to a man named James Jones, all right? Now, if you were going to write her a letter, a formal letter, you would write Mrs. James Jones. That is her name and her title. Her title is Mrs. and their name is Mrs. James Jones. Now, this is something they don't teach anymore, and I've seen so many sloppy things, and I kind of cringe because a lot of times then people might send a letter going, Mrs. Jane Jones. Do you know what that just did? That made her a widow, okay? Because as for her, her title is Mrs. As long as her husband is alive, she's Mrs. Jane Jones. If he were to die or she were to be divorced, her name then would become Mrs. Jane Jones. You drop that. So there are people who will just send a letter, not meaning, you know, anything. They just don't know how those titles work, interact with names, and they may call it, they may send her a letter saying, Mrs. Jane Jones, and I kind of, the back of my hair gets kind of little, you know, up on end, and I think, ooh, somebody just made her a widow, only because they don't understand those interactions. So it's not like, you know, the world will collapse if we don't use, but these are to give us a little more understanding, a little more aspect of how God has little by little revealed who he is to us through his names and now the titles. We've been doing the 10 titles attached with Jehovah, didn't we? In Genesis, he is Jehovah Jireh. And in Exodus, he is Jehovah Rapha, right? Also in Exodus, he is Jehovah Mekadishkim. In Judges, he is Jehovah Shalom. In Samuel, he was Jehovah Zebaoth. And we saw in Jeremiah, he's Jehovah Zidkenu. And in Ezekiel, Jehovah Shema. Now we're going to look at the last two in the canon. And they're both in Psalms. Let's turn first to Psalm. Where am I? I'm back in Nehemiah for heaven's sakes. I didn't mean to do that. Psalm 7. How does that work? Yeah, Psalm 7. Now, look at this one. And it's, again, a way we refer to God, but we don't see it as a title as such. Psalm 7, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all that persecute me. And again, you feel that humanity, that soulishness, that emotional aspect of Psalms. It's not exclusively that. I don't mean it like that, but you understand why that is neither in the law or the prophets. Okay, and so we come on down. We're going on through to the very last couple of verses. His mischief, talking about the wicked ones, his mischief shall return unto his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. Pate's a great old-fashioned word for head. Verse 17, I will praise the Lord. See that uplift. If it is emotion, there's always that uplift. You know, like David was distraught, yet he encouraged himself in the Lord, didn't he? See, it comes, if we pour our heart out, then from that should also come the uplifting. Amen? I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praises to the name, get that, of the Lord Most High. Now, so we think to the name of the Lord, who just happens to be Most High. This is number 9 of the Jehovah titles, and it is Jehovah Elyon. Now, the reason I did a little bit of review on this is because, if you remember correctly, Elyon is one of those words we already look for the name of God. So this is kind of a double name, Jehovah Elyon. Not just a title, but it's sort of like, as we talked about before, my name's Lorraine, my name is also Naboro, so Lorraine Naboro covers it all. Well, except for my middle name and my maiden name and a few other names, some names that I don't particularly want to claim. But anyway, but this is Jehovah Elyon. Now, that means we have to go back and remember El being the basic name for God, Elohim being the creator. El is essentially the Almighty, okay? Eloah is Elohim, who is worshipped, to be worshipped. Eloah is God in connection with his will rather than with his power, all right? Now, so now we kind of, that's just very brief. We already talked about that before. Elyon first occurs in Genesis 14 with El and is rendered the Most High. Elyon means basically the Most High. Hence the name is associated with Christ as the Son of the Highest. See, that would be Elyon, okay? It is Elyon as possessor of the earth who divides all nations their inheritance. Remember we talked about that with Ezekiel. This title, Elyon appears 36 times, which again has to do, if you know numbers, has to do with humanity, with mankind. So Jehovah Elyon is the Lord Most High, as we read here in this psalm. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High, Jehovah Elyon, okay? Jehovah Elyon. And that shows him as, there are other places. We looked at that one. Let's just flip to another one so you can see it. We'll go on then to Psalm 47. Psalm 47. And we'll go to, we'll start with it. Okay. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. There that the Lord Most High is Jehovah Elyon. And what is the context of it? It's not just his power, but it's his will. It's his sovereignty, his high reign over it. Okay? It's the Lord Most High. All right. So you see that. This is number 9, Jehovah Elyon. There are more of those. You can look them up yourself. You know, it's a great study to do. And now we're going to come to the very last one. We have made it through all this, and we've made it through the last of the 9 of the Jehovah titles, right? So now you got to be curious, what could be number 10? We've had the Lord sees and provides. We know that the Lord is a healer, not just of our body. We know that the Lord is the banner over us. We know he sanctifies us. We know he uses us to send peace into the earth. We know that he is the Lord of hosts, of the armies of heaven and earth. We know that he is our righteousness, and we know that he is there, and we know he is the Most High. You have to think to yourself, my goodness, what else is there to cover? Amen. So the 10th Jehovah title, this one I hope will please you. turn, if you will, to our conclusion here, turn, if you will, to the book of Psalms. I told you in the canon we had the law, the prophets, and the other writings. And so that's why we're in Psalms. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Jehovah Roi. Jehovah Roi. The Lord is my shepherd. This isn't just explaining what he is. This is naming what he is. He is Jehovah Roi. Jehovah my shepherd. And now you might go, yeah, I know that one. We got that one. But you probably have never seen it as that is actually one of his titles. He is the Lord, my shepherd. Amen. The Lord, the shepherd. And so he is not just a shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And one of the things, the reason, and I don't probably need to expand on that a great deal, because that'll make sense to you. And we all know this one by heart. Even unbelievers know this one by heart. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. His name's sake again there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, absolutely surely, no question, no doubt, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, so there's we've all meditated on all of those, but that's the 10th title, Jehovah Roi, the Lord my shepherd. But I want to just kind of point out something. A writer once wrote these out, so I'll take time to share it with you. And here's what he says. Of the 10 titles of the Jehovah titles, 7 of them are experimentally referred to in Psalm 23, as much as Jehovah inasmuch as Jehovah, as the good, great, and chief shepherd, is engaged in all the perfection of his attributes on behalf of his sheep. Praise the Lord. Verse 1, we have him as Jehovah Jireh. Okay? In verse 2, we have him as Jehovah Shalom. In verse 3, we have him as both Jehovah Rofecha and Jehovah Zidkenu. In verse 4, we have him as Jehovah Shammah. In verse 5, we have him as Jehovah Nissi and Jehovah Mikdashkim. So that's what I just kind of wanted to end with that. First off, it does end with it. But just for you to see that those are his titles, but the reason he has those titles is not just out of the blue. They are the names of God explain to us who he is. As we said from the beginning, God has known himself. He doesn't need to have a name to signify him from somebody else, which is how we use names, either to refer to somebody or to distinguish them from others. But he uses that name so that we may understand him. I love it. It is the absolute opposite of how we use names. We use names to identify, you know, us. But he uses his name. We can use it so that he explains himself to us. Amen? And so each one of these that we've gone through for all these weeks, I'll hopefully give you a broader sense, a deeper sense, not just that, oh yeah, these are attributes of God, but how important he's just striving, he's longing, if you will, a little bit more, but anyway, he's longing for us to see him, to understand him in the light of how He wants us to see those qualities about him. We don't have anyone in there where he's vicious and wicked and the wrath of God and da-da-da-da. We don't see that. In his relationship to both his creation and his created being, what he has, and relationship to those of us, yes, he shows his power, but he shows his love and his mercy. He shows himself going out of his way to extend to us all those attributes, not that he needs to be affirmed, but that we need to understand about him. Isn't that wonderful? Those names, all of them, and the titles, the Jehovah titles, all give us a wider and a deeper view of who he is, that we may more closely be aligned with him, that we may understand who he chooses to show himself to be to us. He didn't, but he made himself to be for us was this, he is the healer. He is the provider. He is the righteousness. He's the banner over us. And as I, you know, my favorite, he is there. Wherever I am, he is there. I love that. Remember, we're talking about the writings show that emotion. I always think of David's psalm when he said, if I take the wings of the morning and, you know, fly afar away, he is there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, he is there. I love that. We can't escape him. Not that we want to, but we can't go far enough away from his love, from his mercy, from his power, from his redemption, from his salvation, from his peace. He is explaining who he wants to be to us and in us. I do hope this series has been helpful to you, has been meaningful to you. I hope that somehow you've garnered a little bit more of the God's heart in it. We know who he is, but now we understand why he wants us to know each one of these things, that those are the things he has revealed to us over time. And then you extend that kind of thinking. You get to the New Testament where Jesus says, you know, I've called you as disciples, but now I'm going to call you my friends. So even then, it goes on and on. We can call him. He was the firstborn among many brethren. That is a title. That's a name of Jesus, brother. I can call him that. I can call him Lord. I can call him Savior. And that scripture says that I may call him friend. He's probably been a far better friend to me than I've been to him, but that's his choice to call me friend. I just think that when you think about how we use words so casually in the world, we call people, we give them names, idiot, stupid, da-da-da-da, much worse than that, I won't say. And it just grates at my soul because the names we call people is a powerful thing. Amen. God never called any of us unredeemable. He looked at Gideon, that little cowering thing, and he said, you know, great warrior, mighty man of God. And he was not that, but God just keeps calling us who he wants us to be and revealing to us himself who he is to us. I hope this has been a blessing to you. I hope that even if you don't, you know, do a lot more, just that you know that these 10 titles of Jehovah are of his design, his revealing, that we may see him, as I always say, see him more clearly and be more like him day by day. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious, everlasting God, I thank you for our time together in the scriptures, and I thank you that you have revealed yourself from the very beginning of time until now, and you're continuing to do so even into the future. We look forward to a fulfillment of all those names that you have given us a hint that you are. Thank you, Father God. We know that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that you will come with 10,000 of your saints. Thank you, Father God, for all that you've been to us, all that you show us. Thank you always for giving us the privilege of studying in your word. in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking forward to being with you again next time. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcast by calling 516-418-5699. That's 516-418-5699. Now, mark your calendars and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with the Healing Community is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Midst airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 516-418-5699. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand podcast. As you listen to our podcast, click the follow button, and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at area code 314-325-9986. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Midst and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him